Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Low Sodium Show. I am your host with the most, Marco Anycrew Wheeler, and yeah, we're going to have a great time tonight. Little special show tonight about a good friend of the Low Sodium Show, Charlie Polacek, along with some special guests, along with the usual knowledge drop that everyone seems to enjoy. And we might even throw a pig of the week in there somewhere. But first, I'd like to introduce tonight a good friend of mine, actually very good friend of mine, let me put you that way, hailing from Tampa, Florida, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Mr. A Bad Badcast, Rob DeVore. What's going on, man?
Yo, how you doing, man?
Doing good, buddy. How you doing?
All right, so far, man.
Hanging in there?
Yeah, so far. I'm, like, busy, dude. Busy working. Doing all this movie stuff, man. But it's cool.
Doing what stuff?
Doing all this movie stuff, man.
Oh,
doing
yeah,
a lot of movie stuff, filming, editing. I just want to get done, man.
I feel you, man. I've been getting off of work, and we run GoPros on the boat, you know, to catch the action and stuff like that. And it's my job to break it all down. And, man, we usually have, like, 8 hours of footage and, you know, only 20 minutes worth of good stuff to put together. It's like, a lot of fast forward.
Awesome.
Cool, man. Yeah, we're going to have a great show tonight. We got a few people rolling into the chat room. And, of course, folks, this is the benefit for Charlie Polacek. We're going to have a story right after the break. But if you would like to go to his Facebook page, Charlie's Facebook page, his name is Charlie Polacek, P-O-L-O, can't find his name. Okay, P-O-L-O-C-H-A-K is his last name. You can't miss him. It's him and his beautiful fiance Cantina, wonderful woman herself, and you know, hats off to you, Cantina, for you know, staying by Charlie through all this. But if you scroll down the page, you're gonna see his stuff of where you can donate to help him with his medical bills. It'll be greatly appreciated. Every dollar counts, and it is greatly appreciated. Talked to Charlie earlier, and he is, cannot believe the amount of support he's received through these hard times. But, of course, we're here at the block. We're at the Low Sodium Show, and we're going to take a quick break, come back, explain his story, explain, you know, a little bit about Charlie himself and why this means a lot to not only myself, but Rob. We met Charlie at the same time, didn't we? There at the Jacksonville Boondoggle.
Yeah, man, he was there at the first Boondoggle, man. Good dude, man.
Very good.
And he was at the last one there in Merritt Island.
Yeah, I spent some time with him during that trip. Got to finally meet Katina. What a, you know, he lucked out with her, man. And the rest of the Jacksonville crew, I mean, that's a real tight-knit community right there. And, you know, it's good to see everyone banding together and help him out. But, like I said, we have to take a quick short break. We'll be right back with more Low Sodium Show. In just a few minutes.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
All right, folks, and welcome back to the Low Sodium Show. This is the Support Charlie Polachek fun show. So let's get right to who Charlie Polachek is and why we're doing this show for him tonight. Charlie is a really great guy. Let me start that off with one who believes in karma, who believes in and you know, you get what you receive kind of thing. You know, and also we have Rob DeVore on the line as well, who can back up with this. But you know, Charlie is a guy who, you know, absolutely shirt off his back. You know, he would do anything for a friend. Actually, let me take that back. He'll do anything for anybody. Great guy. Truly is, you know, someone that, you know, if you want to emulate someone in a sense, in their way of kindness and forgiving and you know, just being good to people, Charlie's the guy you want to, you know, to kind of emulate yourself after. Believes in karma hard, wholeheartedly. You know, it's all about the karma with him. You know, the whole time in Jacksonville and at Merritt Island, and any other time I've been with Charlie, it's all about, you know, gotta get that good karma, man. It's all about that good karma. Am I right there, Robbo?
Yeah, man. He's definitely into that sort of thing, man. That's Charlie's a good dude. I tell you, I remember the first time I met him in Jacksonville, and he, you know, kind of looks like a rough and tumble dude, you know. And he is, but he was he spent time with everybody, you know, that was in our group there fishing, and spent time with, you know, help you do stuff to help you catch some more fish, you know, and he hung out with everybody until everybody caught at least one fish, man. So that was really cool.
Yeah, he really worked hard that one day that we all went out and got caught in the great Jacksonville slog. Best way to put it. You know,
that was it.
He paddled way down, and he was with every last person. Helped the clone catch that black drum. You know, and you know, I think everyone that trip that was with Charlie was able to get into fish. Even the tree hugger himself caught fish on that trip.
Even
so,
me.
I mean, just. And even you, I know, right? Mr. Kayak Wars over here.
That's me.
But, yeah, I mean, you know, and he gave out a bunch of stuff, and, you know, he's always helping with Heroes on the Water or Wounded Warriors or doing something else. You know, even though, you know, Charlie's hit some rough times the past few years, his health's kind of come down a little bit due to the truly silent killer diabetes, you know, and everything else, you know, he would still find a way to come or support in some way, shape, or possible, you know, anything. And that's, you know, that's why, you know, Charlie's my boy. But for a little sombering story of what happened to Charlie, and I'm going to paraphrase a little bit as best as possible. For on the air listeners, is Sunday morning, Charlie went to the gas station near his house, pick up some stuff before he went to work. You know, some soda, some snacks, usual things you'd buy before you go to work kind of thing, right? Walks up to the cash register, and there's two gentlemen. I'm not going to name race or color or anything else like that, just two gentlemen that were harassing the attendant at the cash register, who was a female, who was, as Charlie put it, just a little tiny little thing that, you know, you just kind of always, you know, those little, you know, women out there that you always keep an eye on kind of thing. And he sat there for a few minutes, let these guys do their thing, you know, just like anyone else would. Eventually, you think they'd leave. Finally, after 5 or 6 minutes, Charlie looks at his watch. It's about time for him to, you know, almost be late for work in a sense. So he just kindly asked the guys, hey, you know, can you leave her alone? Let me pay for my drinks. We'll go all along the way kind of thing. When the gentlemen leave, Charlie pays for his drinks and his stuff. As he exits the gas station is when he got attacked. He was pistol whipped. Charlie broke, has a bunch of bones in his face broken. His nose is broken. His collarbone, they hurt his back pretty bad. Now, Charlie, being the man that he is, fought back. And he fought back, you know, big respect in a sense. And she always carries a knife, a little pocket knife, you know, just like anyone else does. You know, pocket knife to open up boxes or, you know, cut the your orange or whatever. You know what I mean? You know, that little pocket knife everyone carries in their pocket. I carry one. Rob, you carry an extra pocket knife when you need one?
Carry a multi-tool.
Yeah, you know, something like that. Well, Charlie was able to get that out. And as he puts it, he doesn't quite remember everything that happened, but from what people were telling him, he was able to get the knife out and was able to defend himself, is how I'm going to put it, and put one of the other gentlemen in serious condition in the hospital, you know, and I'm not quite sure what happened to the other gentleman. Charlie wasn't, you know, they got him on some stuff to help him with the pain and everything else. But was able to defend himself, keep himself from getting any more hurt, is the best way to put it. Excuse me, folks. You know, he's still alive. And I truly believe that little bit of protection in a small little pocket knife saved his life. So that tells you something. But tonight's show is all about him. And we explained who Charlie was, or still is, for that matter. I mean, he's still planning on going and helping Heroes on the Water next weekend, you know, and doing all the things that he's doing. You know, he is all busted up and in a lot of pain. Now, we're doing this as well, you know, to help with his medical bills. I can't remember if he does or doesn't have medical insurance, but even still, things like this are very expensive, and you know, any way we can help a fellow kayak fisherman, great guy in general, and a very good friend of myself, Rob, and many of the Lowe's Kayak Fishing Radio family have been touched by Charlie and Katina in some way, shape, or form. You know, and to be truthfully honest with you folks, Boondoggles would not exist if it wasn't for Charlie and Scott. Scott being Scott Mitchell, the pirate. Anyone who was at the last Boondoggle knows who Scott is. He's got the heavy-duty beard, kind of the pirate guy is the best way to put it. Great guy. If it wasn't for Scott and Charlie and everything they did at the Jacksonville original Boondoggle, I truly believe that we would not have Boondoggles as it is right now.
Dude, we're still doing
stuff. Am I crying there, Robbie?
We're still doing stuff at Boondoggles, man, that Scott introduced us to. If anybody remembers, if you've been to a Boondoggle and you've had any of the the technique has been passed down, okay, and people have passed the baton off to other people. The hammerhead, Greg Crisp. Anyway, if anybody knows, has been to a Boondoggle and has had any of the awesome, like, either cherry or peach or apple cobbler that the pirate made in a Dutch oven on a campfire, that is Boondoggle tradition, and that started at the first Boondoggle in Jacksonville. So that was, like I'm saying, you know, that's what's just been passed, and I believe we've done that for every Boondoggle since.
Oh, yeah.
Sitting around the campfire, eating Boondoggle cobbler, man. You know, many flavors, and several people know how to make it, but that's where it originated from. Scott and Charlie,
yeah.
Right there in Jacksonville.
Scott and Charlie. Yep. You know, Charlie was actually the first one to do giveaways. He was giving away a bunch of hats and T-shirts and stuff like that from the local clubs and stuff like that. you know, back way back when. So, you know, everything that we do now in the Boondoggles and where it all started truly kind of originated, you know, granted Mark wants an aha by and Chip and Samantha want the ha 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 and ha ha bang. Were key in all that, but it wouldn't have gone as far as it has without Charlie and Scott truly going out there and doing a great job.
Yeah, they definitely helped us out, man. You know, hung out with us and showed us some true, you know, Jacksonville welcome there. You know, Charlie is a good dude. And I hate to see bad stuff happen to good dudes, you know?
Yes. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Now, folks, if you want to donate, please go to giveforward.com. In the upper right corner, you're going to see Find a Fundraiser. Type in Charlie, Charlie, Polachuk. Polochak. And you'll see it come up. You get a notice it's a gentleman with a great set of facial hair and a nice redfish. That's Charlie. Please go ahead and you know, post your donation. It could be anything from $1 to $1,000 if you want to go that far. Please, you know, do what you can. We understand it's all hard times. If you can't, send Charlie a message on Facebook. Same name, same great guy. You'll see in the picture, it's him and his beautiful fiancée again. And with some lays on there. Two great people. Help, you know, any help to Charlie would be great. Send him a message, you know, hope you get better or whatever. And, you know, I can almost guarantee you, Charlie will be at the next Boondoggle with Katina, and it'll be great. It'll truly be great. But first, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk more about Charlie and stories about him. And also, we've got Rob DeVore on the line, and we're going to chat with Rob and see what the Bad Badcast and all things that he's doing right now. And I think he's got some low-sodium stuff for us, too. But again, we'll be right back with more Low Sodium Show, the Charlie Polachuk fundraiser show, in just a minute.
Bull Bay Custom Rods are handcrafted, designed, built by fishermen for fishermen. Each plank goes through a rigorous stress test to ensure the highest quality, period. You can actually feel the action of the bite as well as lure vibration through the foregrip, made with the highest quality components and made to your specifications. Bull Bay Custom Rods bring innovation to your hands. Go to bbrods.com to check out some amazing custom rods. Bull Bay Custom Rods, built by fishermen for fishermen.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish. Check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
All right, folks, we're back with more of the Low Sodium Show. I am your lovely host, Mark Leonard Wheeler. Excuse me, everybody. But tonight is all about Charlie for right now. And we have on the line Mr. A Bad Badcast. You know, if I'm going to intro you, man, I'm going to intro you right. Maybe we should do this one.
Mr. Rob DeVore.
He's got a all right. That's awesome.
But, yeah, swapping Charlie stories. Hang on, we got a caller. Let me jump in here and see who it is. Area code 603, you're live on the Kai Fishing Radio Low Sodium Show.
Hey, Mark, it's Greg.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much. Figured I'd call in. My computer's having all sorts of problems, so.
Yeah, I'm seeing that from the chat room. I'm getting texts and a lot of people, sending me stuff saying, you know, we can't get on. How do we help? And folks, remember you could go to I just lost the damn page. See, my computer screwed up too. But it's www.giveforward.com. Go to the upper right corner. Type in under Find Fundraiser Charlie Polachuk, Polochak. Of course, folks, any dollar amount helps. From a penny to to however much you want to go, everything helps. Charlie paid for his medical bills. All right. So now we've got Mr. Rob DeVore and Mr. Greg Crisp, a.k.a. Hammerhead, on here. And these two guys, folks, if you don't know who they are or the significance in the whole Charlie scheme, myself, Rob, and Greg were both, all three of us, we're at the original Boondoggle, where we met Charlie for the first time, where, Harley, as he goes by on a lot of the boards and everything else, was able to put the face to a name and touch all of us in some way, shape, or form, either getting us our first Florida fish or, telling a great story or whatever else. And actually, Greg is kind of been handed down the reins, in a sense. He's done it in the past. Well, you did the Virginia Beach one, I think. Cobbler. I know you've been doing cobblers yourself now recently there, Greg. But Greg's been doing the cobblers, too. And, it all stems from Scott and Charlie. I'm going to go start off with Rob here. Robbo, tell me a Charlie story, something that, just sticks out in your mind kind of thing.
Well, see, when was that, in 2010 or 2011? I don't really remember. But anyway, he was sitting with me, and we were sitting in one of those creeks there up in Jacksonville for Boondoggle. And that was back when I used to use swivels, I'd put the braid and then have a swivel on it and then a leader, And
right.
He's like sitting there fishing with me, and we're just talking and all that stuff, And he says, let me see that thing. So he takes it and he like cuts my swivel off, ties it back on with like some sort of uni knot or some crazy Charlie knot, And he's like, there you go, that'll work. And then he takes my lure off and he puts a Slayer jig head on there, which was my first introduction to Slayer anything.
Yeah.
That was even before they came out with the baits.
And
he says, here you go. Try that, man. That's really good, because I guess I had too heavy of a jig head on or something like that.
And he pushed you up to it, because I was sitting right, you were on the deeper end of the creek, you were inside the creek, it was Charlie, and then I was on the outside of the creek. I remember the story. And
then,
and he's like, you got rid of your bait you had on there and put on a chicken on the chain.
That was the one. And put the chicken on the chain on there, and that was it. And he's telling me, you're working it too fast. Just kind of slow it down a little bit, drop it off that drop off, and bam, I got an 18-inch trout. It was awesome.
Yep. Yeah. That,
and he was like, okay, I gotta go help Wheeler catch a fish now.
Oh, yeah, and he truly did. He was, we were sitting there. You were in the creek. He was just on the inside of it, and I was posted up on the mouth of the creek. And for folks that don't know, we just backed straight in, put our sterns into the reeds kind of thing to hold our position. And, Charlie's tearing up the trout. And then he gets Rob on him, and Rob's tearing up the trout. And I'm having a heck of a time, and I'm going, I don't know what to do. He kind of looks over, he just kind of leans over because he was in a native ultimate at the time. He just kind of leans over and says, you know, can you see that ripple over there? And I look, and there's, you know, little ripples on the surface. I'm like, yeah. He's like, that's where an oyster bar is. Cast past it, let it sink down, and just hop it over top. On the inside of that is where they're going to be, where the water's pushing out over top of that from the mouth of the creek. And I go, okay, and I hit that spot, and I kind of run it, and I could feel the current catch the line and kind of move it down, and I felt the dunk, 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 dunk. I set the hook, and that was my first Florida fish, to be truthfully honest with y'all. And it was, I think you guys are making fun of me, that it was bait or something like that. It was like a little 12 or 14-inch trout, but it was definitely awesome. And then it was over after that. I mean, we turned into trout slaying freaks.
The other thing that Charlie taught me, and I still don't get this to this day, but he was, you know, they use shrimp down there a lot. You know, you use frozen shrimp up there, you know, catching black drums and stuff. And he tells me, you know, what you got to do is you got to peel the shrimp. You got to take the shell off the shrimp, and then they'll eat it. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, I was like, I'm not doing that. There ain't no fish out there that's not going to eat a shrimp. You know. That's going to eat a peeled shrimp over a non-peeled shrimp. I mean, come on. Really?
Right.
And he sat next to me. It was about the time when that boat came flying around and hit the oyster bar on the other side of the S-curve there. And knocked Transom off the boat. And that guy, sure enough, he's sitting there and he caught 3 black drum in about 5 minutes. And from that, then I started peeling the shrimp and I started catching them, you know?
Yep.
To this day, I still don't get it. I was just talking about that the other day with somebody, too, about peeling them. I don't get it.
Yep.
I don't know why.
I don't get it either. You know, and I, the guy with the outboard kind of leads me into something with Greg. And, you know, we were all together. It was Rob, myself, and Greg.
Pam was there.
I heard she's trying to make it to the Boondoggle down in Merritt Island. It's great. Great to see her again. She's, what a wonderful lady, Pam Funk. You know, it was just a great time. But we got stuck in the slog, and well, it was me, you, Greg. I can't remember. I think Charlie was with us too.
Yeah, Charlie.
He was right over top of everything as we were. As we were dying.
I know it was you and Charlie. You and Charlie had gone way further than we did. And it was me and Chip and the clone and Pam and, like, the pirate or somebody. And
hey,
that was who I slogged. That's who I slogged back with. I know that you and Charlie came in and it was getting to be dark. And
we were
all like wondering when you were going to get back. Because the tide was so low that you could only walk, you know. You couldn't even...
That's right.
Yeah, he had a tag.
It was me, Greg, and Charlie. And I'll let Greg tell the story of the great slog.
That was my introduction to the tides in Jacksonville. I was used to dealing with tides, but I figured the plan was, oh, we're just going to ride this tide out, wait for it to change, and then ride it back.
Right.
Oh, well.
I think it dropped, like, didn't it drop like 9 feet or something?
Yeah,
it dropped enough that it made it uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, and paddling my Malibu back through all of that big old X Factor dragging on everything.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was in the right at the time, and that was about as fun as a root canal.
Yeah. Yeah, and Charlie had his ultimate, and being that you and I outweighed him, he had the... less grass than us in that thing. And he got to paddle a whole lot more than you and I did. We spent a lot of time walking and dragging our kayaks.
Yeah, we came back a muddy mess.
Yeah, that was... but that's part of what makes it fun, man.
Yeah. So, Greg, do you have a Charlie story?
Oh... Well, after the slog, well, during the slog, you got to see the guy take the transom off his boat.
Yeah.
That was fun. But the same morning on the way out, you know, the same thing that he did with you and Rob. I sat next to him and watched him, and he let me just sit there and watch how he was working the bait. And then he gave me a jig head with a chicken on the chain on it and tied it on, and then all of a sudden I was catching fish.
Yeah.
You know, that was my first trip, really, first time ever trying to catch trout and redfish was that morning. I'd never had a chance to fish for them before.
We
have them up here in the Northeast.
Weren't those chicken on the chain, weren't those all like bass assassins or something? And it was funny because like all we did was catch fish like crazy on those things. And it was like right after that they quit making them, I think.
Yeah.
If it was the one I was thinking of. And
they quit making them. And then DOA came out with them and you were throwing a DOA.
Yeah.
And the bass assassin realized, ooh, we screwed up. And then they came back with them, and then Slayer came out with their chicken off the chain, and that's all that seems that anyone keeps on using now.
Yeah, dude, that was fun. I just thought that was funny, because after that, we were all, like, buying and trying to find places to buy those things, you know, because I don't know about you guys, but I was just thinking that that was, like, the only thing that you could catch fish on. But Greg is finding, like, you know, cases of these things in, like, dark basements and stuff, you know. That was pretty fun.
I remember the Yak
Yeah,
episode.
I actually just...
We started mailing out to different folks.
I used my last chicken on the chain last weekend. I found one in the bottom of my tackle bag and put it on and caught a pickerel with it.
That is awesome. That is awesome. And then I'll send some Charlie, man. I mean, that's how Charlie is. You know, he's truly someone that you want to know. And, you know, just spending 5 minutes with him, I truly believe, makes everyone better. You know, in some way, shape, or form. I mean, granted, he's a rough dude in a sense, but he's also a big teddy bear. You know, that loves to cuddle, you know, kind of thing. You know, a little cuddle in the little late night, you know, a little thing. If Katina doesn't, you know, kick you out first. But yeah, I mean, Charlie's a great dude. And when I heard about that on Monday, I actually got a text from my wife, who was on Facebook, and went, "Oh my God, something happened to Charlie. Try to get a hold of him." And you know, it took me a little while. Finally, on Tuesday, he called me. You know, he's still pretty beat up. You know, told me the story, and you know, and that's when we decided to do this for everyone. Excuse me, it was Monday that he called me. So, folks, again, go to giveforward.com. In the top right corner, you see find a fundraiser. Please click on that and type in Charlie Polachek, P-O-L-O-C-H-A-K. Everything counts. Doesn't matter how much it is, a penny, a dollar, $20. Every little amount helps with his medical bills in this heinous act. If you know you can't give, we completely understand. It's all voluntary. Please, you know, send him a message on Facebook. Hey, I heard your story on the Low Sodium Show. I hope you feel better. And, you know, hope to see you at the Boondoggle. And remember, folks, the Boondoggle is coming October 11th to the 14th in Merritt Island, Florida. You want to talk about awesome sauce approved? This is going to be awesome. Literally, folks, the city of Merritt Island contacted us and said, we want you to have a Boondoggle here.
Yo, wait a minute.
Okay.
It's Perdido Key, dude.
Perdido Key. Next to Merritt Island. Oh, no, it's not Merritt Island. We just had one at Merritt Island. Perdido Key, thank you very much there, Mr. DeVore. I'm still thinking about that warm and sunny boondoggle we just had. That's a joke, folks. And but Perdido Key contacted us and asked us to do the boondoggle there, and we I said, sure. It's at Big Lagoon State Park, again, October 11th to the 14th. Go to yakangler.com/boondoggle. Okay? There you're going to find the register button. Go ahead and click it. That's where you register. You will, Saturday night is the dinner. Put your name in for the meat buffet or the vegetarian delight, which gets Rob DeVore all happy, a little vegetarian love. Whoop, whoop. As long with, I think it's 20% off, the official Boondoggle shirt. So again, folks, for more information, go to yakangler.com/boondoggle, BOONDOGGLE, for more information. But folks, we'll be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show here in a few minutes. And we'll... All right, yeah, be right back.
Give me the flats of dawn with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat, man!
I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, you got it. I got him.
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yakangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Hey folks, you hear me talk about Tommy Head Jigs and what they do for you. Tommy Head Jigs are originally a shaky head jig, okay, that have truly reformed my fishing style and many of others that have fished them. From taking from a shaky head to a jig to a swim bait to anything, fresh or salt, turn fishing into catching with Tommy Head Jigs. For more information, go to TommyHeadJigs.com for more information. It's the Boneyard, baby. And in every Boneyard, there's a big old pig. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the pig of the week. Squeal, little pig. Squeal. Mm, yeah. Bacon. All right, folks. Pig of the week is here. And we got a great one here from my buddy, my pal. I'm going to bring him back on here in a second. Mr. Greg Crisp sent me this awesome, awesome pig that he got apparently this past weekend.
This
big
morning.
Old largemouth. So, Greg, a little story on that big old sloth pig you got sitting there.
Well, took off of work today and headed out, and it was a really slow morning. Last weekend, the fish were on fire. I caught, I think it was 9 largemouth, all to about 16 inches, a ton of pickerel, nonstop action, except when the guy in the aluminum boat in the 1965 outboard came up right next to me and shut everything down. So this morning I went out, hit a different pond, and just nothing. Just, you know, the water's still a little bit muddy from all the rain that we've been getting constantly.
Yeah.
It rained pretty good Monday and Tuesday, and wasn't catching anything. And caught 3 bass all morning, but 2 of them, the picture I sent you was the 20-incher, also got a 19-incher. 2 biggest fish
nice.
Of the year for me. So spent 6 hours on the water for 3 bass and a couple pickerel, but the bass, made up for it. So
definitely, that's an awesome fish there, and awesome, bud, awesome. Also, folks, we have a quick message to send out. if you listen to the show with Paul Van Reen and Unfair Lures, and you haven't received your prize pack from that show, please go to unfairlures.com, click on Contact Us, and just send a little message saying, I want a prize pack from Unfair Lures. And you send him your address. He had some computer issues and lost the addresses, and he does apologize. So please, again, go to unfairlures.com, contact us, send him a message saying that you won a prize pack of Unfair Lures from the Low Sodium Show. And, yeah, simple as that. All right, we're back. This is a quick message from Matt. Hey, Matt, my computer just crashed on me. Can you jump onto the studio and unmute everybody? gotta love technology, ladies and gentlemen. But quick little how-to real fast. And this is something that I've been getting a lot of questions about as of recent, and that is how to throw flies on conventional gear instead of using a fly rod. And this goes back to a seminar I did earlier in the year on throwing flies for bass in lily pads and, you know, the topwater poppers, and how to be effective with them instead of using another bait where it might spook the bass kind of thing. And basically what you do, okay, is you need to use a super light long rod on spinning gear. What do I mean by that? I mean a super light crappie rod, okay? Something with a little bit of flex, 7.5 feet long, is about as small as I'll go. And what you're basically doing is cane pulling it. So the situation is this. You come up to a lily pad, little set of lily pads, right? And you can't really work the bait through the pads because they're really thick. But you see a spot either behind or inside of it where you know you can put a bait in there, but you don't want to try to, you know, rip it through the pads and scare the fish. You would use that longer rod, okay? And what I do is I have a spinning reel with 60-pound braid. I use a really heavy braid, up to 80-pound. And my reel of choice is the Akuma Cedros 20 because it has so much drag on it and it's so powerful and it's really lightweight. It doesn't overpower the rod that I can wrench them out without using conventional gear, which makes things really nice. So I use that small little Akuma. Okay, I use the 80-pound braid, and of course, my braid of choice is the Vicious braid, going down to a 20-pound mono, and this is where it's key. The 20-pound mono is, excuse me, floats, okay, so it's not dragging your fly down like others, like fluorocarbon will, but the mono will float, okay, and keep it on the surface. And basically what you're going to do is use the length of the rod, okay, and the line. You're going to use about 4 foot of mono, okay? Get the knot past the rod tip, okay? You want to use pretty much, you know, a full rod's length of line, okay? Have it the same way you normally would. And what you're going to do is pretty much do a kind of lazy kind of just drop-in cast. You know, you're going to get, it's a close-in kind of fishing. We're going to use only about 15 to 20 feet of line. You know, that's about as much as your cast is going to be. But the great thing about it is that because of the length of the rod, especially if you use an 8, 8.5 footer or 9 footer, like some of those crappie rods are, that you can actually take the line and snatch it back up like a fly rod and drop it back in. Or if you are a flyo and you know how to do a basic roll cast, where you just kind of roll the line and make it flip. Remember, you are using a fly, a frog popper, a bug, are great for this. So you can pop it in that, a hole might be about a foot and a half big. But you can pop it in that hole, roll your cast, if you know how to do that correctly, and go right back to doing it again. It is a little difficult to do, but it is one of those things where if you're having a hard time catching a fish, and you know they're in those thick pads, and you can't work a normal bait through there. And if you've been fishing largemouth bass long enough, you know what I'm talking about, where you get the, even a weedless frog gets snagged up in the stems and the leaves. It turns into a big hassle, and having this in your arsenal is a lot of fun, and can really pay off in the end. So again, folks, if you have any questions, want to shoot me whatever, please feel free and go ahead. My email address is lendingcrew@yahoo.com. Okay? If you want to talk to me personally, send me an email, ask for my phone number, and we can chat all you want. Just please remember that my summer is packed, absolutely hammered. Working on a fishing boat. We are the busiest boat in Virginia right now. I've got 6 offshores in a row coming up, so please bear with me if next Wednesday's show I sound like a zombie. it's going to be a rough time. But, again, email address is landingcrew@yahoo.com, or become a friend on Facebook if you're already on there. Message me, and I will message you back. And we can chat and talk about whatever you want to. All right. Just got everything back up. Thank you, Maddie. Yeah. Go to Mr. Rob DeVore. Rob, this is your time to self-promote, man. Go ahead and, tell me about your newest video project and everything else like that.
Okay. If you don't follow us on Facebook, you can follow us at Yaktastic Adventures. We make kayak fishing films, me and Rob Lee, and a small crew of folks. And basically, I got 2 films in the works that I'm shooting to put into the Real Paddle Film Festival. One is Everyday Push, which is a story about Mike Conine. He is a disabled kayak angler that you may have met at the Boondoggle. And he's a fantastic dude, fantastic. And he does everything himself, and his story is very, very inspiring. I mean, when you see a guy that's paralyzed and his legs don't work, and he gets his kayak out of his truck by himself and loads it up by himself and everything else, it's quite inspiring because, you don't feel like going fishing or you don't feel like doing something. Just think of that guy, and he's a really good fisherman too. Probably one of the best skip casters I've ever seen ever. And, so that's one film that I'm working on. And then the other one is called Bass on the Road, where me and Bob Bramblett and Jim Van Pelt went north and fished rivers in, 4 or 5 states and for bass, for catching all different, because those guys are salty, Bob and Jim, and they do, we just kind of made a road trip, went to North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama, and fished with the River Stalkers. If you don't know who those guys are, follow them on Facebook, because they fish rivers. These guys are awesome. Stuart Venable, Evan Howard, and Eric Hughes. And those are some really, really good bass anglers, man. And they were giving everybody the rundown, how to fish this stuff and why. Real quick story about this in Alabama. We're out in the sticks in Alabama. I mean, way out in the middle of nowhere. There's red dirt roads and everything else. And and Bob and Jim are fishing in pro anglers, okay? And so we loaded all this stuff up on a trailer, at this place called the Redneck Yacht Club out in the middle of the sticks of Alabama. And they took us to a place at Terrapin Creek or something, 8 miles out in the middle. I mean, and it was dirt road. And we got in this van, like it was an old church van with like 400,000 miles on it. I mean, this thing had more dirt on it than, I mean, I was filthy when I got out of the thing. Okay, it just had, it was packed full of red dirt, man. My camera looked like it just came out of like Raiders of the Lost Ark or something, you know. So
right.
Anyway, and we launched there, and then we just, you know, went down the river 8 miles back to the Redneck Yacht Club, and it was an awesome trip, man. I mean, it was pristine. You were out in the middle. We didn't see another person the whole time, and there was, you know, almost no garbage out there. It was just beautiful. And, you know, catching bass, spotted bass and rock bass and red eye bass, stuff like that. And they were, I tell you, you know, your buddy Evan there, that guy gets pumped. I've never seen anybody get pumped up catching a bass like that guy. And that's probably his favorite fish to catch is a big river spotted bass, man. And I'm not kidding you, man. He gets something on there, and he's standing there on his Jackson Superficial there. And that guy is practically dancing. He's so happy that he's got this fish. And hooting and hollering and everything. I mean, the first time you witness that, you think that guy is like, that something's wrong, man. Like, you just, like, put a, you know, you just put a Zara spook through his face or something, you know?
Right.
And, yeah, that guy, he's awesome. Him and Eric and Stuart, man, those are some awesome guys. So make sure you follow the River Stalkers on Facebook. And those are the two Those are the two films that I got going on right now that I'm working on editing. They're slated for release this fall. And if you haven't seen the trailers, go to our Vimeo page, which is Yaktastic Adventures on Vimeo there. Subscribe to us, follow us. You can see some of the projects we're doing. And, on Wednesday, next Wednesday, Yak Sushi is in town. And me and him and a couple of other people, we're doing a mothership offshore trip going, you know, 30 miles out with our kayaks. On a mothership, and are going to wrestle with giant amberjacks.
Rock on, man.
So we're going to...
Are you fishing, or are you just going to be filming there, Rob?
Well, I definitely am going to get a line wet on that one, but I'm definitely going to be taking a lot of pictures and filming. The always illustrious Bill Howard will be there taking pictures, too, so I'm sure we'll get good stuff.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. And that reminds me, folks, if you are interested in a mothershipping trip out of Virginia Beach, going after white marlin, tuna, amberjacks, you name it, offshore, and it can be caught off of Virginia, we will go after it. Please message me on Facebook. Send me whatever. I know that I am setting up a trip for late August, early September to go after the extremely wily and totally awesome white marlin. And for those that don't know, Virginia Beach is the white marlin capital of the world. Last year, if we didn't see up to 20 fish, it was a bad day. Okay? So, yeah, definitely something you want to think about. The boat is ready for your kayak. We can take up to four kayaks and a paddleboard. Yes, I said it. You can take a sup as one as well. Very comfortable, 42-foot Jersey Sport Fisher, the charter boat Flatline. Go to AquamanSportFishing.com, check it out. You'll see me in there with my weekly fish reports, and yeah, that's what I've been doing. But we know we also.
So how do you get a rod holder on a kayak that can take a bent butt rod?
What's that?
How do you get a rod holder onto a kayak that can handle a bent butt rod?
You don't need a bent butt. You just need a little bit of extra muscle.
A little more oomph.
Yeah.
Just watch a couple of the shows with Jackson Pro, Jim Salmon's on it. How do you like that name drop?
Ooh, hell yeah.
Two for one, two for one. But watch him when he goes offshore and he fishes for the pelagic species, tuna, marlin, and stuff like that. You're not fishing the rod straight up and down. It's more of, you know, letting the kayak support the weight and with a little bit of a pump in between. You know, watch that, and you know, that'll be a great help.
No,
quick question, Rob.
Rod,
are you guys going to take live baits, or are you going to vertical jig for them? Those AJs.
I imagine it's going to be it's going to be just one of those live bait, dump a 4-ounce sinker on it and dump it over the side type things.
Right. I would highly recommend for a really cool bite. After you guys get the AJs, this is what we do. When you get the Amberjacks really going and they come up in the water column really high, take a large popper, remove the hooks on it. You want to talk about some great pictures, dude, of big Amberjack coming up out of the water with his bait in his mouth, and because there's no hooks on it, you don't hook them. But it's just great for the picture opportunity. So this way you can get two or three camera angles and guys ready, have that popper going. And then, you know, if it's offshore, it's pretty much clear enough. You see him coming up. Comes up in the water column. You're like, oh, here he comes, here he goes. Makes some great stuff there.
I fully plan on being in the water with my PFD floating me with the cannon and getting shots right at water level.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get it wet.
Yeah, you should get some great ones.
Oh.
You know,
I'll be good.
Yeah, we'll take a strip.
The other thing, dude. One more thing, if I'm still in promotion mode here, August 6th, I will be at Mosquito Creek Outdoors, and me and Nick Dyroff are going to be doing a seminar: how to make better kayak fishing videos. And that ought to be a lot of fun. I'm actually giving away a nice HD sport camera there to one lucky winner, and a giant Bass on the Road movie poster, the official movie poster designed by the incomparable Bridget Howard there, and I'll have one of those away as well. So if you haven't seen that,
man.
I don't know if you've seen that or not, but it's
is there a link?
It's
a link
up. It's on the Yak Cast. I'm not on the chat room or anything like that right now, but it's on the Yakastic Facebook page. There's a JPEG of it there, and it's completely awesome. If you need any design work, she does awesome work. She's really fast. It's almost like she, like, takes the top of your head off and looks inside your brain and can see what you're thinking.
That's rocking, dude.
Yeah.
I need one of those.
Yeah.
The logo, that is.
Did you see the poster? It's really cool.
I'm getting there, yes. I'm going to put the link up when I get it.
It's not like on cheap paper or something. It's on the real heavy-duty, you know, industrial poster paper. The Yak Mark Glasskamp from Yak Gear. He's hanging one in his living room. He's so excited about it.
Cool, man.
Got it. I got it. I'm putting it in the chat room. Hold on.
So that's what we got going on.
There we go.
It's gonna be awesome.
That be it right there. I hope.
Dude, that is an awesome logo, man. It's been a while since I've been able to get.
Is that the poster in there?
Yeah, that's it, right? Oh, you're not in the chat room, Rob.
Can't see it.
That's rocking,
yeah.
Brother.
All right, maybe one of these days we'll get Bridget to call in and she can explain what she does.
Yeah, that'd be great. You hear that, Bridget?
But yeah, that poster's really cool. Very neat graphic design. That's something different, man. That's outside the box. I like it.
Well, you know, I always need that stuff done, and it's like, you know, I had to bring you know, graphic designer into the Yak-tastic fold, because you get in there and it's like, it's always, somebody always knows, like, my next door neighbor's cousin's roommate's, you know, uncle's son likes to do graphic design work, you know, and it's like, you're waiting and, you know, 6 weeks later, you still don't have anything, and when you do get something, it's like substandard, so, you know, it's, you know, you just got to go, you got to go to the right people for that sort of stuff, and Bridge is definitely the right people for graphic design stuff, outdoor-related graphic design stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, I bet she's very expensive.
What's that?
Let me just say this. Miss Tennessee Creek Bridge.
I bet you her time is very costly.
It's, well, it's worth it. It's worth it. Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Miss Tennessee Creek Bridges, apparently she knows Bridget personally, and well, being a Jackson Pro staffer, Bridget knows that, you know, Jackson Pro staffers are always welcome here. So if she could spread the word and, you know, call in anytime, again, folks, at 714-816-4727. Now we're actually starting to sound like a radio show. You know what I mean? Sorry, folks, I'm getting off the deep end here, but that is one thing that drives me absolutely up the wall, is when you're in a you're waiting for that contest phone number, and the radio show guy goes, all right, folks, and our number is 714-816-4727. And you're like, I got a 7. Okay. This drives me crazy. But again, the number is 714-816-4727. If you want to call in, please feel free to do show. So, but first, I have got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more of the Low Sodium Show, only on the Kayak Fishing Radio Network. All right, folks, Jackson Kayaks, can't say enough about them. True comfort, reliability, American-made. And now we're not talking like partially American-made or assembled in America. We're talking from the moment your kayak is even thought of, Americans have their hands in it. So for more information, check out your local Jackson dealer or go to jacksonkayak.com, click on the dealer tab, find your local dealer, click on the kayak tab, check them out, and let them know that you heard it on the Low Sodium Show with Mark Landing Crew Wheeler. You hear me, folks, talking about Unfair Lures, and for those who don't know, go to unfairlures.com, hit contact us, send them a message, and let them know that you heard it on the Low Sodium Show with your address to get a free sample pack. Only on this show right here will you get free gear by listening. But of course, folks, Unfair Lures, truly amazing. Go from fishing with a banana to fishing with a real thing, only with Unfair Lures. Turn fishing into catching and join the Fish O Nation, only at unfairlures.com. Check them out, and also your local dealer. If they don't carry it, demand that they start carrying Unfair Lures. Again, go to unfairlures.com, check them out. I'm telling you, Paul's Dinkum Mullet, it's time of the year for those mullets here in the Mid-Atlantic. Get on them. You will truly turn fishing into catching with Unfair Lures. Clear your deck. Oh, God, that hurt. But clear your deck with Tackle Webs. Truly awesome stuff there. Check them out at tacklewebs.com and get your fish on with Tackle Webs. Boom, yeah. Welcome back to the Low Sodium Show. Sorry about that last commercial. But a fly decided that it needed to see the inside of me. So we're back with more Low Sodium Show. I'm your host, Mark Lennon Crew Wheeler. I know that I've got some guys laugh. A bad back cast. Rob. Awesome sauce. DeVore.
Awesome.
Down below him, we've got Mr. Matty Matt, Yak Chum Trucks. What's going on, man?
Yo, I'm going to write a song about Fly Inside of Me.
I know, man.
Fly Inside of Me. Fly Inside of Me.
I started to talk, and right at the last second, I, you know, did that breathe in, and it shot to the back of my throat. I was like, oh. Yeah, what's that? And then hailing from the northeast in New Hampshire, Mr. Greg Hammerhead Crist. And actually, folks, if you don't know this, that last week was the thaw out for up there in the northeast. So finally he can see the ground. What's going on, man?
Yeah, that's about it. Our bats are just finishing up spawning. So,
wow.
You know, they're still protecting the young ones. That's where I was catching some of the males on Sunday, was you know, guarding Fry.
That's yeah. I can't even, I, you know what, I can fathom it. Excuse me. That Fry's trying to come back. I can see it, but I just can't. Yeah, there's a fly inside of me. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I just you know, and then it makes the pig of the week that much better. And a 20-inch bass that big, you know, that's got to be a, you know, 8, 9, 10-year-old bass, man. That's an old fart there, you know. That's a Chip Gibson old kind of fish. Love you, Chippy.
He's driving.
You know, it's an old turd, you know, of a fish. Yeah, you know, and that makes cat, you know, a northeast bass like that much. And you caught a 19-incher too, so that, you know, geez, just huge. And actually, Tennessee Creek Bridges asks, how are growth rates in the northeast versus the south? Oh, they are completely different. And it all comes down to their metabolism. And this is the Low Sodium Show, folks, so we're actually going to talk about some fishing now. But it's a much shorter, warm time for them. And that's really where the growth comes from, is during the summertime when they're eating a lot. Their metabolism is higher. And when you have something with a higher metabolism that is a constant growing entity, like a fish, you know, they need that time to grow instead of worrying about surviving, okay, throughout the winter. You know, like the fish down south, they don't need to worry about, you know, super cold snaps and you know, and staying deep and doing the things that they do, right? While the fish up the northeast literally come out of the freeze, spawn, and then have to start immediately feeding up to get ready for the winter, if that makes any sense. they contain more mercury, so they, really, man? That's awful.
God. I live in Jersey. There's a lot of industry along all the rivers here, man. Or, you know, and there was years ago when all that got dumped right in there. So, it's a little different than down south.
Six eyes,
you know,
and two fins and for whatever reason, a baby's arm. I mean, just insane. But yeah, I mean, that time needed to quote-unquote survive, to prep, really hampers their growth rates. So a four-year-old, let me give you an idea, a four-year-old bass down south is going to be about 18 inches, okay, and a pound and a quarter, pound and a half, 2 pounds, all right, up to three, depending on the fish. Now, you catch an 18-inch bass up in the northeast, and I'm going to say northeast from about mid-Pennsylvania north, okay. Southern PA, Maryland, stuff like that, they don't really have that. How do you calculate the age of bass? You really don't, and that's the hard part about it, but you go off of, you know, knowledge and biology reports and those that have the money to go to school and learn about it, for, you know, to be able to, you know, stuff that I've read. You know, you take an 18-inch bass, you know, like I said, a four-year-old bass down south is 18 inches. Give or take, you know, I'm using that as a base. You get an 18-inch bass up in the northeast, let's say in Connecticut or in Vermont, New Hampshire, whatever, you're looking at a 6, 7, 8-year-old bass who is, yes, is 18 inches, but he weighs 5 pounds, okay, because he is working so much harder to survive that they need to be a little bit bigger. you know, stuff like that. You know, it's like you go out in the middle of the sticks, right? You might find, you know, a guy who weighs 100 pounds soaking wet, but you look around and every other dude is 6'8" and, you know, corn-fed and looks like a, you know, a monster. You know, that is the same sort of thing. They work hard. They have to, you know, work extremely hard to survive kind of thing. So that's the kind of thing. Okay. Matt puts on here, can't fly full of chuck.
I think you already killed it.
I don't know, man. I'm trying to come back. Matt puts on here, he has a catfish in his fish tank. It's 3 years old. It hasn't grown more than a half inch. The reason for that, oh, my God. He's still trying.
No, that's way less than a half inch. That's 0.0025.
Yeah, he's tiny.
Yeah. Hasn't grown more than that in 3 years.
All right. The reason is that when fish are confined to an area, they will never outgrow their area. I'm going to take that back. Some fish, okay, will never outgrow where they're living. Things like, what's that thing called? An Oscar. An Oscar will outgrow its fish tank.
Yeah, goldfish.
You know, but things like catfish, stuff like that, you go to a small pond, you're not going to catch a 100-pound catfish, right? But you go to, you know, like the James River. You go to other places where there's, you know, a large mass of water. That's where you're going to find those bigger catfish. Certain species grow like that, certain don't. Bridges puts in here, no big chunky monkeys. The available forage environment rougher. Yeah. Northeast is just a little rougher. But that being said, are you talking about southern fish? They're bridges. The northerners. Now the northerners have a lot of forage, and their forage is actually, you know, shad. It's bluegill. It's stuff like that. And again, those bluegill up north are heavier, in a sense, you know, quote unquote heavier, than your southern species. And I've been saying it for several years now. If there's some way that you keep the Florida strain bass, the ones that just keep on growing kind of thing, and grow rather quickly, alive and happy in a northern base where they have to follow the northern bass's time schedule for work, you know, for their spawn and everything else, I'm telling you, you would get a 20-inch bass that would weigh 15 pounds. Easy. Okay? It would just be one of those things. But again, the conditions would have to be perfect. You know, you would need literally 10 years of perfect conditions, outside feeding, you know, stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, those fish really work hard for the little that they get, in respect, for that matter. But to make up for them, we have smallmouth bass, and those things are awesome.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and just for example, the New Hampshire state record is only 10 pounds. So that and that bass was a little over 10.
Yeah, I don't know what it is in Jersey. I think it's somewhere around 17, which
yeah.
I don't think that's a huge, huge bass compared to what they catch down south.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was 10 pounds, and it was caught in 1967.
Wow.
You know, and I'm guessing the ones I caught today were pushing probably close to 5.
Right. So, yeah, 20-inch bass, so. I usually say between 4 and 6.
Yeah.
21, 5 and 7. 22-inch bass, now you're talking 8, 9, 10, depending on, you know, how fat the gut is. 22 and a half, 9 and 10, 23, 9 to 11. And then up from there, you're talking double digits. So.
Yeah, I guess once you pass that 20-inch range, it's all about girth, right?
Yeah, yeah. They don't have to really worry about other things eating them. But yeah, wow, folks, we've done an hour and 15 plus minutes. With that being said, I cannot thank everyone for showing up. And I know that we were close to, let's see here. Ooh, I have a Marlin on my page. I love Marlin. They're so fun. Actually, that's a black Marlin there. Sorry. Let's see here. Excellent. Thank you, Bridget, for donating. It's greatly appreciated. Remember, folks, go to giveforward.com. Up in the upper right-hand corner, you're going to see Find a Fundraiser. Click on that and type in Charlie Polachuk, P-O-L-O-C-H-A-K, and donate what you can to Charlie and to help pay for his medical bills. Help him pay for his medical bills, I should say. Anything will be greatly appreciated. We only need $705 more dollars to hit our $5,000 goal. But I'm not happy with $5,000. I'd like to see a lot more given to Charlie. And you're going to hear from it here. For those that don't know, I work as a mate on a charter boat out of Virginia Beach. I make my living off of tips, okay? I get tipped for every trip I go on. And I'm going to take a small percentage of all my tips for the rest of the year and donate them to Charlie and from all of my trips. So come at the end of August, I'll let everyone know how much I was able to raise for him. And there'll be a jar on the boat as well asking for donations, even if it comes at the cost of my tips, as long as we help Charlie out. Karma, baby. It's all about the big karma. It's what it's all about. Again, folks, I truly appreciate everyone showing up tonight. For all those in the chat room, you know, it's just it's you know, I cannot thank you all enough for coming out. Hopefully, you support Charlie with an email, with money. It really doesn't matter. Every little thing helps, and I cannot thank everyone for doing the support that everyone has been doing. For the Low Sodium Show, this is going to be a rough summer for me, for being on the show. You're going to hear a lot of rebroadcasts from me throughout the rest of the summer. But the wintertime, you're going to hear me doing my thing, talking about all the good stuff. So it should be good. With that being said, I'd like to thank everyone who showed up, Mr. Rob DeVore, Mr. Trucks, and Greg Crisp for being my special guest tonight. And with that, take a kid fishing. Always wear your PFD and get your fish on, man. Good night, everybody. See you next week. Stay safe out there. Good night.